superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Beckham's out there. Touchdown!
Alrighty, so let's get into it, Joe.
Heard nationwide, televised online at richeisenshow.com.
Do you go right out of the gate as this a must-win game for the Browns?
Burrow back in the pocket, late pressure, he got hit.
This is about as important as a Week 2 game can get.
Hire register.
The Browns are going to be winners on Thursday.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college football analyst Todd McShay. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air on this Friday. We got a jam-packed hour, not only because phone lines are lit and we'll take your phone calls, but Chris Brockman's going to give you a little bit of a news update on the injury front in the NFL.
Yeah, a lot of that popped
There's a
right
lot
now.
Going on right now as to who's in, who's out for week one that kicked off, week two, pardon me, that kicked off last night with the Browns winning a must-win game. Our poll question is which team playing in week two needs to do what the Browns did and win a must-win game? Go to at Rich Eisen Show. Chris Brockman, do you want to quickly give a news update on, an update on the poll question, if you don't mind, on which week two team needs to go ahead and win? At Rich Eisen Show is where you can vote.
Yeah, who needs it the most this weekend? Who needs a W the most? Bucks, Cowboys, Eagles, and Vikings right now. Cowboys 35%. Bucks 33%.
And Chris Brockman will give you some winners in sneaky good games. He doesn't need a win in week two, although it's always good. You got three of them in week one. You went 3-0.
Boom.
I'm going to give you the unluckiest lock of the week, which is where I have a feeling. I've got a gut feeling that this team is going to surprise and upset. I chose the Bengals last week. Came that close. But I guess it's like horseshoes and hand grenades. That's the only thing that being close matters. And also, we've got our famed, now, we've done it once, we'll call it famed, higher register segment, where we have to go higher register to basically say something that we don't really believe, but we talk ourselves into. That's later on. So we got a lot going on in the third hour.
Yeah, we do.
Including some breaking news out of college football, and that's where we turn to our phone lines and our guests from The Athletic and Fox Sports, our buddy Bruce Feldman back here. Bruce, I just saw you tweeted something out in the commercial break. Go for it. You got the floor here.
Yeah, Rich, real breaking news. Tomorrow's Houston-Baylor game, which actually only came together a week ago, that has now been postponed, as I reported on Twitter just like literally like 2 minutes ago. So Baylor is dealing with some COVID issues there, and so that game, maybe it'll get rescheduled, but really hard news for both schools because, I mean, for Houston, this was a game that came together quickly because their Memphis game, because of COVID issues at Memphis, got postponed. And so this is just the latest in a series of postponements. And I think what's maybe more unique about this is some people are looking at it going, well, a lot of these postponements have happened to Group of Five games, and this involved directly a Big 12 team. So when people look at it and go, well, maybe it's the resources on the testing issue or whatever, but it's showing that this issue is infecting everybody in college football.
Well, again, because, and knock on wood that we're now 17 games into the NFL season, bubbling up as professionals in an environment where you spend as a professional just multiple hours and then you go home to your home as opposed to, say, a dorm room or off-campus housing, where all sorts of craziness could go down that is something that a professional football player is avoiding or being told to avoid or would lose money if they didn't avoid. That are we learning here that this whole stuff about, hey, Big Ten's back and that we're waiting for SEC football, that this is all just par for the course? Or are we going to, like, what do you make of this news and how we can apply it to everything that's going on, Bruce?
It's definitely more complicated with college football, Rich. I mean, you have big rosters of basically 100 guys plus, you know, 40, 50 staff members. You're on college campuses, and as much as a lot of athletic directors and coaches have probably urged their players, say, hey, let's try to have as much of a bubble-like situation as we can, meaning take your classes online. Don't go on campus if you really don't have to. They're still going to be around college students in college towns, and that gives them more risk of exposure and, quote, bringing it into their facility. So that it's complicated. It really is. And right now where they are with the testing, daily testing is coming, but it's not there yet. I mean, even the conferences in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, which are lining up deals, and the Pac-12 already has it, they don't have those tests yet. So I think that's made it more complicated, right?
So let's get to it one by one. The Big Ten, and where's the schedule? You know, I started by basically saying today it was a PR disaster the last time you put a schedule out and you canceled. Maybe to make everyone forget about the PR disaster now that it's back, why aren't we talking about a schedule? When are we going to get that? And how did it all come together, Bruce? What happened?
Well, let's start with that part first, Rich. So one of the issues I heard that they felt like they were able to address with their meetings last week through their medical experts was that they had a better handle on the myocarditis, the cardiac issue. And in terms of what was one of the challenges they had back in August was some of the schools did not have the protocols in place, may not have had the resources in place to address it properly. And now they feel like they have a better handle on that. They felt like there were now daily testing options more available. And that was something that I think they now feel more comfortable when they get it in place in terms of that timeline. But you're right, in terms of just the explanation of it, on the front end, I mean, it was not well handled by the Big Ten at all. So they're going to move forward. We'll see when they can put together a schedule that we know a timeline, at least, of, hey, they're going to be trying to play, I guess, it's basically a month from now, and right through into mid/late December, so they can hopefully have teams in CFP consideration. But there's just a lot of TBDs going on. I mean, I talked to Bob Bowlesby, who's the Big 12 commissioner, and as it relates to that CFP issue and how they, you know, who's eligible for playoff consideration. And even if they don't have many games in, they might have three games in. If you're talking about the Big Ten, when the first rankings come out, well, at least in theory, they would have maybe eight games in when the final rankings actually matter before selection. But again, as Bowlesby pointed, you know, there's no guarantees that they won't have breaks in their schedule, just like we're seeing in other leagues. And again, I think that's the challenge here. I think people look at it and go, okay, well, now they're back saying they're going to play. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that they can and get to that point.
If Ohio State goes 9-0, pardon me, the Ohio State goes 9-0, including winning a Big Ten championship game, good luck to Bowlesby and everybody else trying to keep Ohio State out because they hadn't played enough. Good luck to that. I mean, because everything I'm hearing is that there was a scarlet and gray hand pushing everything, maybe a little bit of Cornhusker red, but it really was a scarlet and gray hand that was pushing a lot to get the Big Ten to meet again and review the science that I can't imagine it changed literally in 3-4 weeks, and then find rapid testing that I'm sure the Big Ten knew existed when they decided to stop playing. It's not as if nobody in the testing business knocked on the Big Ten door and say, hey, what about us? I mean, this whole thing just, I honestly don't get it. I guess I'll be happy if it happens and everybody's safe, but good luck again to Ohio State being kept out if the Big Ten has Ohio State winning their championship, Bruce.
Yeah, no, I think that if they have enough games in, look, the difference between going 9-0 versus potentially 10-0 with a non-conference game that's a, you know, a mediocre opponent, I don't think that's going to that would hurt Ohio State or hurt Penn State or whoever that team, if there's a team from the Big Ten that comes out of there like that. I mean, there's not a big difference in that one game, assuming that they can, you know, not have postponements to derail the schedule, right? And so I do think it's noteworthy that the Big Ten, what they have now, has a stricter criteria to bunch practice some of these other leagues. So that's not, you know, that may impact it in a different way. But right now, I think we're just trying to figure out where's this all going to go?
Bruce Feldman, The Athletic and Fox Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then there's the Pac-12, where the governor of our state out here in California, Gavin Newsom, is just like, don't look at me. If the Pac-12 is saying that, you know, health rules are preventing a couple of states and certainly the state of California from restarting. So if Gavin Newsom's saying no, is it Los Angeles that's basically telling USC that they can't go? I mean, what is going on with the Pac-12 right now is the big question.
Yeah, it was government ordinances that were really, you know, putting up the roadblock at that point. But, you know, we did a big story on The Athletic that went up yesterday afternoon. There are a lot of coaches in the league who feel strongly that the Pac-12 is not going to be ready to play as fast as some people in the Pac-12 leadership want them out there. And it has more to do with, look, we have not – there's a difference between being in cardio shape and actually being in football shape. And if we're going to preach how safety and the wellness of our student athletes is the number one priority, and our guys are not ready to play football where they're going to be risks, all sorts of soft tissue injuries and other kinds of things like that, then we're doing a disservice to them. And I would encourage people to look at that story at The Athletic, because some of the quotes from some of those coaches are eye-popping about basically the Pac-12 having its head up the Big Ten's you-know-what. I mean, and the language is colorful, and there's a lot of people there are coaches in the conference who are really frustrated with how all this has been handled and the perception that it's just being shoved down their throats right now, probably faster than it's probably in the player's best interest.
Mm. Man, I guess, again, COVID in every walk of life just finds the weakness and places immense pressure upon it, and then reveals a lot of the fault lines. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the Pac-12 may be feeling pressure to have to go, because if they don't go and everyone else goes, I mean, the Pac-12 could be irreparably harmed for years to come in terms of kids, like, not going there or anything like that. Whether that's fair or not, that does appear to be the pressure that's upon that conference. Bruce, would you not agree?
Yeah, I feel like that's probably a little overblown to think it. You know, everything happens so fast in this day and age, and people move on. The difference between the big, like, let's say if the Pac-12 starts on November 7th, which is the coaches I talked to yesterday thought, except for one thought it was too soon for this, but thought November 15th was something they was workable, they could get to be ready at that point. The idea that they could play in October, the coaches I talked to thought it was not realistic and it wasn't smart. Now, the difference between one and, you know, them playing a six-game schedule versus a five-game schedule, if recruits are going to hold that one game or that perception against them where they're not going to choose those schools and they're going to go to other conferences, I don't know. That doesn't kind of pass the smell test to me. I mean, that's just an opinion. But I don't know if I would go that far. But I think at this point, you know, it feels a lot like, again, from my reporting, that it's just like the Pac-12 a lot of times just can't get out of its own way when it comes to some of this stuff. And it just kind of, the leadership of the conference seems to shoot itself in the foot almost at every critical turn.
And the SEC is going, right? I mean, that's obviously the one that everyone is keeping an eye on to see what their plans are. And they're going, right? They're going.
They're going to start on the 26th, which is a week from tomorrow. Now, look, keep in mind, Missouri has already announced that they have 12 players out for their opener against Alabama. And that number could certainly go up because they're going to have, you know, a few more tests between now and then. So, you know, like, one of the things I think people should be cautious of is like going, yeah, this conference is the loser in this, and this conference is a big winner, because the SEC hasn't played a game yet, right? I mean, the Big 12 hasn't played a conference game yet, and they've already had TCU and Baylor lose games now because of what's gone on. So it's going to be – this is, you know, going to be a long, bumpy ride, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's such a shame. Last one for you. My friend Prime has gone dark on my text exchange. Is Dion the next coach at Jackson State? What are you hearing?
It sounds like that. There was some misdirection coming out of the school, I guess, yesterday. They told some reporters some things that were probably not accurate. It would definitely make things more interesting. Think about this. In Division I football in the state of Mississippi, you would have Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, and now Deion Sanders. Buckle up.
I agree. I mean, just in terms of, but I'll tell you what, anybody that, and I mean this, and it's not just because I consider him a great friend, anybody that thinks that this would be a lark for Deion is mistaken. I think he would bring an all-star cast with him for coaches, and I think he would be a dynamite coach. I think he's ready for it. You overlook him at your peril, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Fair enough. I mean, I think what this is, because it's not a school with a lot of resources at this point. It's obviously a school with really good history, and they've produced some legends, as obviously you guys know. But I would imagine this would, if it goes well, then if Florida State were to ever come open, or were to come open down the road, and it's way too early to make any judgments on Mike Norvell after one game.
Right.
But I think that would give him a much better shot at getting a bigger job if he really wants to do that. And also, I mean, look, you know, this isn't, and I'm not saying this means he can't coach or at all, but like, we've seen in the NBA, you can be a really good player,
oh, yeah,
and you can make a seamless transition into coaching. You almost never see a football star just jump in and get a head coaching job in college, because there's just so much that goes into it. So there's usually a step along the way that you probably have to take to kind of get up to that point, and maybe this is that step for him.
Bruce, thanks for the call. Be safe. Where are you? Are you anywhere this weekend? Where are you going?
I am in studio, and so it'll be interesting to watch some of the games. But you know, like as I said, it's going to be a fascinating ride.
Bruce, thanks for the call. You take care of yourself.
My pleasure.
We'll chat soon. You got it. That's Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, The Athletic. Hey, Aaron Boone, what do you do? Right. Booth, Yankees, yeah. Who are, by the way, I think they just hit a five home run inning last night. They're catching fire. They're catching fire well enough to avoid the Rays in the first round.
Exactly. Stay away from that.
I mean, we can go on and on and on, and certainly in the NBA. Okay, what did Steve Kerr know? Deion has been around Bobby Bowden. We can go on and on and on and on and on. And he's done. He's coached at obviously a youth level, high school level, whatever. Yep. Why can't in football you take a former player? Problem is, usually former players who are Hall of Famers don't really coach very well, because not everybody is a Hall of Famer in your heart and obviously in your body and talent, but in your heart and your mind. But Deion's been around enough. He doesn't suffer fools very gladly. I mean, the number of times I would watch him scream at a screen, cut him. Like somebody does a stupid play. If he came back to my sideline, he would have to go on the other way. Just go the other way. Don't come back to my side and go the other way. But I mean, that was just maybe him having fun with all of us in studio.
Maybe.
Didn't Ed Reed basically say, I'll coach?
Ed Reed won the Miami job.
So why? But I don't know. I just. Just because you haven't done it before at this level. I don't know. I find that hard to believe. I find out that football, for some reason, doesn't do what basketball and baseball feel a lot more comfortable doing.
They make you start at the bottom and work your way up.
Well, because you know why? Because it's a buddy-buddy system. And like, I got my guy. My guy, I got to do this for my guy. You know, and
best job to get fired from in the world.
And if there's one booster somewhere who basically is like, no, my guy's been in line. I don't care. You know.
Yeah.
How many Super Bowl rings and jackets Deion Sanders has, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, phone calls, Chris Brockman, news update, higher register, sneaky good games, unlockiest lock of the week. We got a lot of content for the next 40. Now, more than ever, it's important to show support for your team and your community. Visa and the National Football League know that local businesses help your community move the ball down the field. Small businesses everywhere are overcoming challenges in these new times thanks to teammates like you and Visa. Because when everyone pitches in, everyone benefits. Being loyal to local businesses ignites growth and supports all of us and our communities. Because they know that where you shop matters, Visa urges you to support local retailers who are making shopping safe and reliable. And remember, tap to pay with contactless Visa wherever you see the contactless symbol to help support your community. Visa, official partner of the NFL. Back here on our quadcast, early voting begins in Minnesota, Virginia, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Election month is underway. Months, again, don't forget, election months. Early voting begins now in many states. And then, as you know, because of a lot of mail-in voting that's going to be going down because of COVID-19, it'll take some time to count some votes that are received legally by Election Day and also postmarked by Election Day in certain states. That once those votes are opened, that's how we'll know for various races, national and local. Election months, prepare. It's going to take some time. IamAVoter.com, RiseToVote.com, RockTheVote.com. Just three nonpartisan sites for you to go to figure out if you're registered and then make a plan. Make a plan to make sure that your vote counts and that your vote is counted right here on The Rich Eisen Show. 844-204. Let's take a phone call. Who's been waiting the longest? Kevin in Chicago has been waiting the longest. What's up, Kevin?
You're registered. What's up, Rich? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
So I've been trying to tell everybody willing to listen that Goran Dragic has been the most important, if not the most important, right up there, tied with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. But for whatever reason, the media just doesn't want to talk about him. The sexy story is Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, but I've been watching this guy his whole career, all playoffs, all season long, and he's just been delivering down the stretch. Leading them in points, leading them in plus-minus, but for whatever reason, they don't want to talk about him. I don't know. Maybe he's got a funny accent. Yeah, comes from a different part of town. What's the deal? Why aren't they talking about this all-star player?
I think the reason why is Celtics. No, I think if you wanted an answer to that question, and I appreciate the call, it's Jimmy Butler. I mean, Jimmy Butler's a fascinating figure that's been around the NBA for some time that has had a lot of star quality about him, and we've been waiting to see, and thank you for the call, we've been waiting to see if Jimmy Butler can rise to the ranks of, let's call it, Kawhi, LeBron. Name any superstar that's won a title in the NBA. Can Jimmy Butler say, I'm part of that group? I have a ring. I have led you to this place. I am part of a team that has gelled because not only am I a star player who plays on both ends, but I'm also a guy that can distribute and be a leader. So I think that's the focus. And then Goran Dragic has just been phenomenal. And then you go Adebayo, and then you go Duncan Robinson, and then you go Tyler Hero, and then you go so on and so forth.
Tough team.
I mean, even the coach, Spoelstra, was the coach for the LeBron, Wade Bosch. Pat Riley's one of the most famous sports figures in this country. So I think that's why, if you want to see why this stellar player is not getting the credit that you believe is due. Chris Brockman, I want a news update. We'll take some more phone calls in a moment right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
With a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Okay, guys, just some NFL injury notes as we head into the weekend. Getting ready for those fantasy lineups. Yep. Bruce Arians said Chris Godwin still going through concussion protocol, and he is doubtful.
Okay.
So that's a bummer. So it looks like a big Scotty Miller
performance. Okay.
Yeah, for the Bucks.
All right.
Kenny Golladay and Desmond Trufant were very limited today. Matt Patricia said, so keep an eye on that. Doesn't look like Golladay is going to go for the second straight week.
My word.
Dan Quinn said Julio Jones has been dealing with a hamstring injury for, quote, a couple weeks. Limited all week.
But the Falcons, against Seattle.
They don't really seem concerned with Julio Jones, but just keep an eye on it. Adam Schefter, this kind of surprised me, said there's a little hope Michael Thomas can play. Saints have been surprised at Thomas's progress at practice this week.
He said that he looked, quote unquote, fantastic after practice on Wednesday. So maybe he goes on Monday. Maybe he's got the old Big Ben high ankle sprain where he comes right back and snaps right back.
Yeah, that would be surprising.
Monday night or to open the new facility in Vegas.
Mike Vrabel said A.J. Brown's out, and George Kittle did not practice yesterday, so just keep an eye on that today and tomorrow for George Kittle.
I have Kittle, but I also have Scotty Miller. I got Zach Ertz. What a disappointing week one.
Jameson Crowder also out.
Jameson Crowder's out. All right. Those are some interesting names that you just keep an eye on for your fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
Let's go to Cal in Georgia. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Cal?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to you talk about your son and getting involved in the comedy Friends.
Yes, that's right.
He was somewhat sad when it ended.
Very much so.
I'm one click south of 70 years old.
Okay.
I have watched Frasier all seasons three times. I've watched Cheers all seasons three times.
Okay, so
I've watched Friends all seasons twice. And when they all ended, I had that sense of sadness. Not so much that I identified with any character, but the sense that it was over and you were involved in these people's lives. And you knew it's never they're never going to have that again. And just for the record,
yes,
I've watched Field of Dreams probably five or six times. And at the end of that, when he realizes that's his dad, and that's the reason he built the field so they could play catch.
That's it.
It brings tears to my eyes every time, but even at my age, because I think back to how many times my dad in the 60s threw with me, how many times I played catch with my son in the 80s and 90s, and more recently, in the last 7 or 8 years, how many times I've thrown with my grandson. And it's all sentimental to me.
I love it. Cal, you're giving great voice to what's great with pop culture and how it can really... So in terms of, obviously fatherhood and all that. What'd you think of my way of handling it with my son to recite the Friends lyrics to say, I'll be there for you?
that was awesome.
Okay, I think so too. So what would, if you were crying over Cheers, what if I had said to you, hey man, just you know where you want to go, where everybody knows your name. Like, would that have been helpful?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
See what I'm saying. Okay, thanks.
But it's every time I watch it, and even at the end, and I know how it's going to end, I still have these feelings.
There you go. That's
And let me say one more thing.
Sure,
I know
Cal.
You're on a tight schedule.
No, go for it.
But just to let you know, Peacock, great platform. I start at 9 o'clock in the morning with Dan, end at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with you.
Well, let's keep it going. If you want to tune in earlier for Florio and stay tuned for Brother from Another, Cal, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much.
All right.
That's Cal in Georgia. And I got to tell you, he said he was one click south of 70.
Nice.
Cal in Georgia. Got to be honest, I didn't think he'd be a big Frasier Crane guy. I don't know.
He really likes the dog.
I mean,
who doesn't love a Jack Russell?
Frasier was awesome.
Are you kidding me?
Great show.
I did one day on that show, I think.
Huh?
Audio. Yeah. I did one day.
What do you mean you think?
Because I did a lot of sitcoms back then.
I mean.
Were you doing boom mic?
No, I pushed a boom. That was before I actually.
What does that mean?
You sit behind the boom operator and push the
cart?
Cal in Georgia. Big time Kelsey Grammer guy.
David Frasier Ed Pierce.
I was always shocked by the popularity of Frasier, to be honest.
Oh, come on.
No, let me finish. Here's the reason.
Hold on. All right. Is this because of what Stuart Scott once told me about making a Seinfeld reference?
I'm not sure what he told you, but okay. It'll make sense once I tell you why.
Okay.
So, it just, Frazier seemed very highbrow, right? For most people, for a show that was number one all that time, just, to me, it seemed like a little too, I don't want to say people weren't smart, but it seemed a little too intelligent to have that many people truly appreciate it. Okay. So it was just more like, I can't believe that this show does so well because it seemed that it could be possibly over some people's heads.
I'm listening. But the story I'm telling you is that I would do a Seinfeld reference doing SportsCenter with Stewart. We'd go to break and he'd go, "What was that?" And I'm like, "That's from Seinfeld." And he goes, "Brothers don't watch Seinfeld."
He had a point. Had a point.
That's why I brought it up right here. Yeah. I mean,
all right, two more injuries, guys. Miles Sanders, he's going to play.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's 100% healthy, he said.
Okay, good.
And for Oakland, Henry Ruggs did not go today, so keep an eye on him.
Oh, boy. Could you imagine if Henry Ruggs can't go, but Michael Thomas can go, and what difference that might make on Monday Night Football?
Crazy. No. And C.J. Anderson just announced his retirement.
I know. Yeah. How about that? 2 years ago was such a crucial part of that Rams drive as Todd Gurley. That's where the Todd Gurley mystery began.
Yeah.
Of why is he not in the game? Why is C.J. Anderson getting all those totes from inside
NFC
the tent? And it was not fantasy related because this was in the playoffs.
Right.
How about that? A Super Bowl 50 champion, if I'm not mistaken. And those Denver Broncos teams, a crucial member of that offense with Peyton Manning.
I believe you're correct.
Okay, we'll take more phone calls in a second. It's now time for our new, at some point we won't call it new anymore, but we did it for the first time last week. It was just born out of us realizing that we here on the Rich Eisen Show, when we don't truly believe what we're saying and we need to talk ourselves into something, we go higher register. You go up here.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't,
all right. So here now is our second week of making this a regular segment, Higher Register on the Rich Eisen Show.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen Shows.
That there could be.
Higher Register. Take of the week.
Very good. I like it.
Caliendo.
All right. The Caliendo shifter going higher register.
What's this tell me?
Okay, am I first? Am I going first right here?
Lead it off.
Leading her off? Okay. This one was a no-brainer to me. Okay. An absolute no-brainer. Because this team is a plucky team. Normally you don't call a team that has gone this far plucky. Because they usually have grit and determination, and they do. They do. They showed it in round one of the NBA bubble playoffs, being down 3-1 to the Utah Jazz, overcoming that. Then against the Los Angeles Clippers for the second time. First time ever a team has come out, dug out successfully from a 3-1 hole in the same playoffs. So prior to tonight's Western Conference Finals, Game one, tipping off the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm going to go higher register. Hey, the Nuggets have a shot against the Lakers. I mean, look, they got Nikola Jokic, or you call him Nikola, like it's something you put in your throat when it hurts, you know, and hey.
The Joker, Rich.
The Joker. Joke's on everyone else. You got Jamal Murray. Hey, he's a guy who could go for 50 at any moment. He had more points than Kawhi and Paul George, playoff P combined in that game 7. And this bench is pretty deep. Could be just as deep as the Lakers. Well, hey, I mean, what's Frank Vogel ever won, right? I mean, same thing with the coach for the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets have a shot. Chris? It's your turn.
Okay. Two big games for Boston sports teams this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Celtics, game 3, down in the bubble on Saturday.
I like how you're going lower register to set this up.
Yeah.
Like
Sunday, it. Patriots going all the way out to Seattle. No 12s, but that's fine. Tough, very tough place to play. Sunday night football.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson probably might be MVP this year.
Okay.
I got to tell you, guys, I'm feeling really good about a Boston sweep this weekend.
Okay.
Oh.
I really believe it. Double-digit leads in both game 1 and 2. Celtics going to pull it out. They're fighting with each other, but it's not going to matter. It's all good. 1 a.m. meeting at Brad Stevens' hotel room. Patriots, no one's giving them a shot. Feel really good about a victory.
Rock the tire register. Just as cracking me.
Boston sweep.
I feel you.
Book it.
TJ, what do you have on
that? I felt him on that. Well, kaboom, guess who stepped in the room? Look, folks, I've been real open with you these last few days. I had a rough week, okay? It started with Saturday, Florida State Seminoles lost.
Great setup.
Then on Sunday, the Cowboys took an L. The Clippers took an L.
Oh,
my
boy.
Fantasy football team took an L.
Oh,
and then
boy.
The Clippers, they took another L, okay? I there was a series of events so unfortunate, you might as well call me Lemony Snicket.
Oh,
okay, that's how that's
wow.
how bad it was, you know? And and you guys took that ride with me. Now, I meant what I said earlier this week. The death of Kobe and all the passengers on that helicopter, man, that messed the city up, and the city's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And along with the passing of Nipsey Hussle, L.A. needs something good, all right? We need a championship in this city, and right now we got the Lakers. We got the Dodgers, we got the Rams, we got the Chargers. They're all vying for that championship spot. And, you know, I know what I said earlier, and I'm gonna stick to it. I'm totally fine with the Lakers being the ones, despite the fact that Laker fans really, you know, they talk bad about me all the time. But, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with the Lakers being the ones that bring that title to L.A.
The topic
no
bar.
No problem.
You got to read the topic bar because this is exactly what apparently you told everybody. I guess I'll go with the Lakers.
I guess I'll go with the Lakers. Sure. I'll be happy if they're the ones that bring the title here. Absolutely.
I love Higher Register. Higher Register is
the
great.
Least believable. T.J. Jefferson, as the body language.
I mean, you want my
communicates.
Bonus?
Huh?
You want my bonus?
The Mike Del Tufo bonus.
Oh,
I registered.
What do we got?
Fake crowds are doing pretty good.
No, but that's an evergreen one.
Yeah.
I don't mind the fake
I
crowds.
Actually think last night sounded really good, and I mean that like lower
I, I don't mind it.
It did. I liked it.
Well, that's because
well,
it was
there
a real crowd.
Crowd.
Last
what
night,
do you mean?
Mike.
There was, no
there was
fake
only 6,000 people. Rich, 6,000 people. I've mixed games. That's nothing. That's a joke.
But what about Browns fans who've been waiting all year long and probably drinking
and
all day?
That's what I mean.
No, but I think it's doing a great job. Fox used regular sound. They're all adding.
Enhancing? I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sunday night, just so you are aware.
Sunday night.
Al Michaels said on the air that they were not enhancing the Thursday nighter in
Well, yeah,
Kansas
we're hearing
City.
The crowd in the stadium.
Well, they had 16,000. They're like that. We're using that.
But I mean, they're
you know, it's okay, Mike. If you don't know what you're talking about,
no,
it's fine for you to basically say, you know what, I was mistaken. And maybe Mike doesn't know
innovator.
What he's talking about.
I may be an innovator.
You're an innovator. Innovator.
There he goes.
Oh my gosh.
Innovator. That segment was amazing.
Hold on a minute.
Hold on a minute.
Again, I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Think it means.
All right, there's more phone calls. We'll take a break here and then finish up the show with phone calls. Chris Brockman, sneaky good games. He went 3-0 last week. I will give you my unlockiest lock of the week, and then I do believe we just got another bonus this week in Jay Cutler's Instagram.
Oh,
I love our Friday shows.
Hot day.
Oh yeah, baby! Stars lightning. The Stanley Cup final. It's not Stanley Cup Finals. There's no S. Stanley Cup Final. Stars Lightning. Tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
I assume that's his kid that scored the touchdown.
No idea.
Amazing.
No mini cows?
Boom.
I want the mini cows.
No idea.
No idea.
All right. Wait a minute. We got a little Giannis update. I'll wait till everybody comes out. I got a Giannis update.
We got a James Conner update, too.
I know.
Just saw it.
I know. Did I tell you I had a Giannis update? Straight from his mouth.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Indeed.
Ooh.
Straight from NBA TV. Straight from his mouth. Love got it. A Giannis update. Okay, you heard, was that Callan Georgia says he's watching Peacock all day? We like Callan Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
We like more. We need more Cals and Georgias. That's what we need. Every day, Pro Football Talk starts it, and then PFTPM ends it with Dan Patrick Show, The Rich Eisen Show, and we send you to Brother from Another on NBC Sports on Peacock after this one. Giannis Antetokounmpo in a split screen with Adam Silver just aired on NBA TV as... MC'd by the stellar Ernie Johnson, announced what Woj reported first. The Giannis Antetokounmpo is the MVP second year in a row. Giannis from Athens, Greece, looks pretty late where he is right now. Chiming in from Athens, Greece, quote, provided that everyone's on the same page, fighting every single day for a championship, quote, I don't see why not to be in Milwaukee for the next 15 years. And he said that straight out. And he did not go higher register because I didn't see why not to be in Milwaukee for the next 15 years. Now, that's a different story.
I don't know. Not bad.
Literally. The Giannis parsing of every syllable is underway.
That's great.
That's what he said.
I wish Adam Silver would have asked him why he unfollowed his teammates on Instagram.
Did he unfollow at NBA?
He's not following at NBA.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's still going to play in the NBA, so it's so much for reading anything into it.
He just followed the Greek League. Really weird.
There you go. That's pretty odd. News update on James Conner, correct, Christopher, over there?
Yeah, James Conner not on the injury report. He is good to go.
Okay, good to go.
Against Denver.
GTG. I picked up Benny Snell. I got him in my back pocket. I think Benny Snell's going to take the gig. That's what I think.
Take
the gig.
Just take the gig?
Take the gig. Take the gig. I root for James Conner. I hope he stays healthy. But if he can't stay, I mean, it took literally, what, one quarter for him to turn his ankle, and then Snell runs for 100 yards.
Are you going to start?
Who's going to start?
Yeah, who are you? Who are you going
to
start?
I don't know. I need to take a look at it, but I have him in my back pocket.
Okay.
Devin Singletary was disappointing week one. I can't believe it. It's just nothing's going to happen there.
Zach Moss, baby.
I don't know. Chad in Cincinnati, you're on the show. How you been, Chad?
Hey, Rich, doing pretty good, man. How are you?
What's going on?
So, Rich, I was going to give you my attempt to go higher register here. Oh. I think it's possible that we might have four teams from one division make the playoffs.
Well, now with three wild cards, it's possible.
I was. That's what I was calling the ass. I mean, look at that division, and when San Francisco's the only team that lost, and you know how good San Fran is. I mean, I think that's a possibility that all those teams could actually do it.
Well, that would mean that no one else from any other division makes it except the division winners. So you think that there would be nobody in the NFC South making it. That would mean the Bucs or the Saints would be left home for the playoffs. And then the entire NFC West makes it. That would be a story. That would be something remarkable. And thank you for the call, Chad. That would be, at some point, you have to figure eventually that will happen in the NFL. When there's three wildcard teams. At some point in our lifetimes in this new playoff format, that will happen. But the odds are very strong against it because everybody in a division plays each other two times. And one would think that in a division that competitive, no one's sweeping.
Right.
So somebody's going to, you know, there'll all be 500 through 1/8 of their schedule. And somebody's going to end up going 0-2 just because of the way the oblong ball bounces in the NFL. Tim in San Diego, hopefully listening to us on the Mightier 1090 locally. What's up, Tim?
The Mighty.
Hey, Rich. I just wanted to call and say, give you a compliment. For,
okay.
Last week, when you did that breakdown of the NFL teams without any notes, that was unbelievable.
Thank you.
Went high.
Be careful.
Careful. You almost did. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I can't believe you did that. Yeah.
Right. I can't believe this, Rich.
Nice, Tim.
You got such a good brain.
Careful now. Careful. Don't pull anything.
We're on to something, gentlemen.
What's up, Tim?
The other thing I had was last week when I called, I got some heat down here in San Diego for saying my Chargers might only get 4 wins. So I've changed that prediction. So I think what I'm going to say is the Chargers, after they slaughtered Cincinnati last week,
yeah,
they're going to go 16-0, and they're going to win the Super Bowl.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. 16-0,
man.
There you go. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Kansas City at the Los Angeles Chargers. Let's do this real quick. Let's finish up strong here. Don, do you have the list of three games that, okay, hit it up here. These are three games that I don't think anybody's talking about, even though I guess I did hear Bill Barnwell talk about one of them on the Sports Center. Rams and Eagles. Who's talking about Rams and Eagles right now? Rams can go 2-0, which is important in this division, obviously, which is the most competitive division. And then if the Eagles fall to 0-2, look out below. Look out below. Miles Sanders, as we all know, as you just said, Chris Brockman is supposed to be active. Let's keep an eye on Lane Johnson as well.
Yep.
And can Carson Wentz get rid of that football?
I don't know, man.
He just get it out on time? And what's Zach Ertz going to look like? And how are the Rams going to look like? All of that, that's one of them. Then you've got the Washington football team and the Arizona Cardinals. What if the Cardinals go 2-0?
Yeah, buddy. What if the Washington
football game goes 2-0? What if Chase Young chasing around Kyler Murray is going to be
that
a lot of fun?
Be awesome.
And then we will see what DeAndre Hopkins looks in the second week. And then the two teams that lost on divisional playoff Sunday, divisional playoff weekend last year, Texans. How do they come back from that season opening disappointment? And then the Ravens going into Houston. Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, a phenomenal matchup. But again, our eye is on the Sunday night football ball, and then I can't wait for that one. You know, and I'll give you one more. Minnesota and the Indianapolis Colts. The loser goes to 0-2. Look out. Big week two games. I'm going to take in them right now. I'm leaning towards, and then we'll get your sneaky good games, and I'll tell you what feeling I'm really hooked on. I like the Rams. I think that the offensive line better come correct because the Rams are going to go and hit them. I like Arizona to win it, and I like the Ravens to send the Texans to 0-2.
Ooh.
That's the way I'm leaning on those games. Chris Brockman, your sneaky good games. You went 3-0 last week. Hit it, please.
Let's go.
Here's Chris Brockman with sneaky good games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
Christopher, what do you have, sir?
All right, guys, 3-0 last week, 3-0 in the season. Let's make that money. First up, give me the Steelers at home, -7.5. They're hosting Denver. Denver 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 September games. Didn't like how they looked fully at home last week. This is more about Pittsburgh than Denver to me. Pittsburgh's defense looked awesome. And I was kind of with you, Rich, impressed with Ben Roethlisberger. And I think they're going to put up some points and win this one pretty easily against Denver. I'm also going to focus on that Rams game. Give me the Rams, +1 at Philadelphia. Rams 4-1-1 against the spread in the last 6 games. 8-2 against the spread in the last 10 road games. Philly only 1-7 in their last 8 games played in September in the last 2 years. I like the Rams to beat up the Eagles and win on the road.
And you like in Chicago, you like...
Lastly, I like the total in that Bears-Giants game, over 42. Ooh. This seems a little low to me. Total's gone over in 7 of the last 10 Giants games and 4 of the last 6 Bears games. I think Trubisky is going to be able to score some points, and I like Danny Dimes.
You do, ooh, huh? How about, we didn't discuss this, that Tiki Barber on his radio show
Said something about Saquon, right?
As saying he might not be an every down back.
Get out of here.
He said he can't pass protect. I thought I saw many times last week the Steelers turned him into a pass blocker.
Yeah, that's the reason why he didn't catch as many that's what I passes thought.
I know I don't have the thousands of yards like Tiki does, and I didn't play the running back position. But from what I saw, I thought Saquon kind of, you know, threw his body at people. And what's he supposed to do? Like, let me just put it this way. If the offensive pass blocking scheme requires Saquon to take out Bud Dupree, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So Saquon says he's going to take that criticism as a challenge.
It's actually kind of weird. As Tiki was making that hot take, he fumbled the microphone.
Oh, boy. You know what? And honestly, if you can take the entirety of the last 20 years of the Giants, the two most popular Giants might be Eli Manning and Saquon Barkley, and Tiki went after both of them. Strahan, too. I don't know if he ever – that's true. I don't think if he ever went at Stray.
That just tells you all you need to know about Tiki.
I need Saquon to focus.
Yeah. Well, Danny Dimes. He's got him this week.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Danny Dimes.
Okay. Finishing up with my unlockiest lock.
And now – time for Rich Eisen's unluckiest lock of the week.
Okay, this is where I begin to feel like, do I, this is an upset, and I feel it in my gut. I think it's going to happen, but it's unluckiest lock of the week. You just got to, you know, ish, okay? I'm not telling you it's a lock. It's unluckiest lock of the week. Last week I said it was the Bengals over the Chargers.
Oh, right,
I was
there.
So damn close. I was right there. I was right there.
Right there. And AJ Green arm away.
But my pick, like Randy Bullock, cramped up at the end. So this week, part of me wanted to twitch in the direction of the Carolina Panthers, but I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Oh, man. That'd be
hot. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
That'd be hot.
So I'm going to go with the mighty, mighty.
I knew it.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
I knew you were picking this one.
Going to Tennessee, because Tennessee, as the, like I said, the shortest week out of anybody. They probably didn't get home to Tennessee until Tuesday morning. The Jaguars are just flying under the radar. I'm not going to go higher register on this one. I believe Gardner Minshew and these plucky Jaguars go to 2-0.
Woo! 7.5-point dogs.
That's my unluckiest lock of the week for week two.
That's a tasty dog. I like it.
It's a tasty dog. Fun show today with Todd McShay, Shams Charania, Bruce Feldman, and you. Final poll results over there, Chris Brockman, as we send people into the
weekend. Yeah, team that needs to win the most in week two. Dallas Cowboys, TJ, 35%. Bucks, 33%.
I mean, great weekend of sports, and much of it, again, on NBC. You've got the U.S. Open going on right now. You've got the NASCAR playoffs, along with game one of the Stanley Cup final on Saturday night, and then Sunday night football between the Patriots and the Seahawks. We will see you back here on Monday on NBC Sports on Peacock. Have a great week to everybody. I'll see you on NFL Game Day morning on NFL Network at 9 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. See you Monday here.
Hey, it is Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, among other NFL-related podcasts, the former NFL offensive lineman, and yes, we are going to have an NFL season. It is here, thankfully. So, if you want to bet on the games, it is the Even Money Podcast. If you just want to play fantasy football, Fantasy Feast Podcast, or every day your NFL fix, the aforementioned Ross Tucker Football Podcast.